two copies.
Okay. We're back to the originals. The aboriginals. Okay, I want to talk today about a topic which is basically the same topic I talk about every single week. It's the same topic, but I think it's a little bit of a different spin on it. I want to talk about the danger in viewing Yiddishkeit as a burden. Some people view the mitzvos and the Torah's restrictions as a burden. Somebody spoke here last week, and he said, you know, you ever notice the statement is, I have to go daven. I have to go daven. So he was saying, it shouldn't be, I have to go daven. I want to go daven. I have to daven. Like you tell your wife, I gotta go run. I have to. So, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 365 mitzvahs lo saseh and 248 mitzvahs saseh. So the lo saseh's are a lot more than the saseh. Is that true? It goes that way? I think it goes that way, right? Always forget which one is which. But yeah, I think so. It seems to us like, you know, Yiddishkeit is a burden. But there's a very, very important and very, very simple Rashi at the beginning of this week's Parsha. Very simple Rashi, where Rashi says that, you know, Avram was sitting out here, just had the bris milah, he was sitting out in the heat of the day, like the first Rashi we remember from kindergarten. Okay, maybe it was third grade or fourth grade. But so Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the sun out. It was kechom hayom. The sun was out, and Rashi says the reason why Hashem made it very hot was so there shouldn't be guests, so that Avram shouldn't have to get up and deal with the guests, because he was just had his bris milah, so he wasn't feeling well. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he was mitzdayah, he was so in pain that there were no guests, that he brought some alachim there, so he had some guests. So the kasha that everybody asks is, what does this mean that Avram Avinu was in pain that there were no guests? That's like saying that you're in pain that today is not Shabbos. I can't be Mekayim Shabbos. I can't be Mekayim Shabbos today. I feel so bad that I can't observe Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. If it's not Shabbos, you have no mitzvah Shabbos. You shouldn't be in pain that today is not Shabbos. Maybe you have other mitzvahs to do today, but okay, if it's Shabbos and you can't observe Shabbos for whatever reason, then I understand. You're honest that you can't. You wish you could be Mekayim. But if it's not, there's no chiyuv. So if there are no orachim around, if there are no guests, so there's no chiyuv of achnasas orachim. So what was he in pain about? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has in his tshuva, has in his sefer, that we see from this Rashi, that specifically when it comes to chesed, when it comes to helping people, the desired level of a person's attitude towards the mitzvah of hachnasas orchem, the mitzvah of helping people, what the Torah wants from us is not just that we should do the mitzvah in scenarios that we are mechuyev al pidin, technically to be machnas oreach, or that we would formally be mekayim mitzvah, but a person's attitude towards these mitzvahs is supposed to be, I just enjoy doing them. This is Ratzon Hashem. So whether I'm mechuyev b'davar or not mechuyev b'davar, even if I'm in a scenario, I so much enjoy doing them, and I feel lacking when I'm not doing them. B'metzius. Even if it's not a chiyev shebedavar, it's a little bit of like a anti-brisker vart. But this was Avram's madrega. Avram's madrega that he was so connected to chesed, that even in scenarios that it was not the technical chiyuv to do it, he had trained himself so much to have a natural she'ifa to always want to be doing mitzvahs, that even in a situation that he wasn't technically mechuyev b'davar, he still had a natural desire to want to do it, to want to help people, to want to give. And so I think it's also just important to note that, you know, you can train yourself to become someone who's more of a giving person. Some people are born maybe with more natural tendencies in a certain direction, but I know that in my life, I've said many times that, you know, I think a lot of people around the college age time, you know, can be a little selfish. People tend to be high school, selfish, it's all about me, college. Then you get married, and then you realize that, you know, you're getting married. First of all, I think the women are more naturally giving than the men, generally speaking. So I know that since I, when I married, my wife had a big hashpa on me, that I became much more of a looking out and looking to give. But the point is, you can train yourself. You can train yourself to be more. If the Torah says a person's supposed to have achnas arachim, you can train yourself. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that it's not just in the area of chesed or achnas arachim, but by many mitzvos, you find this. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu set aside the three out of the six Ari Mikla, right? He designated three. And it's fascinating that he did that, considering the fact that the Ari Mikla were not going to be able to be kolid until all six of them were set up. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to get into Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't going to be able to set up the other three. So he did the first three, even though technically speaking, there was no Maisa HaMitzvah. I guess the whole setting up of Ari Mikla was more of a Hechsher Mitzvah. But there was no mitzvah because he wasn't going to get to see the Kiyam HaMitzvah because he only did half of it. And so he could have waited and let Yeshua do all six of them later on when it was actually the time that Ir Miklat was going to work. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu do it? So that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein says, the same idea, that he had such a natural, it was like, not just by chesed. By chesed, it's upgaret that way. By all mitzvos, a person is supposed to have a naturally positive view, a desire and a drive to do the Ratzon Hashem in such a way that even when technically speaking it's not yet the Ratzon Hashem, he still has a natural drive and an inclination to just want to do that. And a person could train himself that it's not just, and Rav Moshe seems to say that it's not just about fulfilling the chiyuv that the Ribbono Shel Olam asked you to fulfill, but it's more about having a natural drive and desire to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says are mitzvos and Ratzon Hashem. And Rav Moshe says it also, there's a famous Mamar Chazal, right? You know, the Torah says by a couple of mitzvahs, the Torah doesn't phrase it as a chiyuv. Like, for instance, in Parshas Yisro, the Torah says, Im kesef talve esami. Im kesef talve esami. If you decide to lend money to somebody. Very strange. If you see somebody who's poor and you have the ability to do it, what do you mean, im, if you decide to do it? No, that's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. Why does the Torah phrase the mitzvah of lending? Usually when the Torah says mitzvah, it'll say, you should do it. You should surely lend him money. Some other places it does say that. Pasach, yadcha, right, to give money, to tzaka, pasach, tiftach, it's yadcha, lachicha laniyacha. The Torah says, if you have a poor person, you're mechuyev to do it. Why does the Torah say, if you decide, im kesef talves, I mean, if you decide to do it. So Chazal say that there's three places in Chumash that it says the word im, and it doesn't really mean that it's optional. It really means that it's obligatory. Im kesef talve esami. Im mizbach avonim. Tase lo sivne esen gozes. And the im minchas bikurim takriv. So three places in Chumash where it says im. So Moshe Feinstein says, why does the Torah say im? Let's take by im kesef talve esami. So he says the same idea. That the Torah specifically didn't want to phrase the mitzvah of lending a poor person money as a chiyuv, because the Torah is trying to hint to this idea that a person, that the highest madrega of a person performing a mitzvah is not just when he does it, just because it happens to be a mitzvah, but he has a natural love and desire and burning, yearning desire to do this, even in the scenarios where technically speaking it might not be. It might not be a mitzvah. He has a natural love and connection and desire to do the Ratzon HaBori so much that even in a technical scenario where he might be putter from doing the mitzvah for whatever reason, he still has such a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a love to want to do Hashem's mitzvahs and a yearning to want to do that. And that's the way, that's the mindset, that's the highest level mindset that a person is supposed to have when doing chesed. He doesn't just do it because it's the Ratzon Hashem, he has a technical chi of mitzvah to do it. That's certainly very admirable to do it for that. That he's like an eved and a slave and feels like, I have to do this. I have to do this. It's not just that I have to do it. It should be that I want to do it. That I want to do it. And it's not just because of the chi. And he even says that by the mizbech, if I understood what he was saying correctly, he says v'im mizbach avanim tasali. That he extends this also to the Mizbech, building a Mizbech. homiletically, he wants to try to suggest that Mizbach Avonim, that if a person has Mizbech, certainly that doesn't really talk about so much Bein Adam L'Chaveru, it's more about your service of Hashem, your service of Hashem, your tefillah. Mizbech, he talks about Shabbos. He says when a person observes Shabbos and when a person davens or does all the things that he does, he shouldn't have the feeling that it's something I have to do. If it's something you have to do, then, you know, then over time you might like get sick and tired of it and not do it. But he says if it's something that's mamish, a part of your personality, that it's like a rock, Mizbech Havonim Tasali. He said that Mizbech should be mamish like a rock, like something that's not going to move, that's not going to lose its form, that's going to, if it's something that you mamish love doing because you love doing it, that's going to stick with you forever. If it's just something you feel like so over time, you know, if it's something that you're doing because you have to do it, so could be that over a long period of time you'll get sick of doing it, you don't really enjoy it, so you keep on doing it for 1 year and 2 years and 5 years. And unfortunately we see a lot of people like that, people who just like they go through the motions of Yiddishkeit, not really having a geschmack for it, not really saying. So it lasts, you know, it could last for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years, and then afterwards, over time, it just becomes okay. It's like I'm so sick and tired of this. If it doesn't become part of you in a positive way, Reb Moshe writes again. I could see one making the opposite argument also, that either if it's just the geschmack, then the geschmack wears off. But Reb Moshe says sometimes it's the opposite too. If you're just doing something because you're forced into it, and you're forced into it, and you're forced into it. So over the years, as you get older and older, at a certain point in time, you're going to get sick of it because you didn't develop a taste for it. You didn't develop a geschmack for it. You didn't develop an enjoyment for it. So over time, people are human beings and they just can't keep on just schlepping themselves to keep on doing the same thing over and over again. So that's what Moshe says. So for sure, by chesed, it's that way. But not just by chesed. Not just by chesed. By all mitzvos. It shouldn't just be that we have to do it, that we feel this chiyuv, that we have to do it, that we have this Torah that's 365 negative commandments weighing on us and 248 mitzvahs that we have to do. We shouldn't have that feeling. It should be something that we should train ourselves. And you can train yourself. You can train yourself. How does the training come? The training comes from contemplating the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Mari, the Kula Alma gave us these beautiful mitzvahs. Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lizakos Es Yisrael. Lizakos Es Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us merit. He wanted to give us a Simchas HaChayim. He wanted to give us a purpose for living. He wanted to give us so many great things. So every mitzvah, every time a person davens, every time a person slaps on his tefillin in the morning, puts on his tzitzis in the morning, every time a person does whatever he wants, he should have this feeling that the Melech Malchei Amlachim wants from me to serve him. This should give him tremendous simcha. When he sits down to study Hashem's holy Torah, it should be besimcha. Everything should be. I love it. I'm upset at times that I'm exempt. I love when I make the announcements here. Right? There'll be no mishmar tonight. Right? There'll be no mishmar. There'll be no night seder. No mishmar tonight. Like sometimes we get a cheer, like a resounding cheer. So that's why we try to speak a little bit about it the Shabbaton. I hope no one's going to be at the Shabbaton. But you guys come to the Shabbaton? Anyone? No. Okay. Good. I have a libel to be there, but you missed the first part. Okay. And I've seen this so many times in my own life. Just once you fall in love with something, if you don't fall in love with Limud HaTorah, it's very, very unlikely that you're going to stick with Limud HaTorah throughout your life. It's very unlikely that just like that sense of Yigisa b'yom v'layla, the Amal, the Amelus, they're just like, I know I have to do it. I know I have to do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. It's very unlikely that it's going to really stick with you to that. That could take you to a certain level, but if you develop mamish a love that is something that I really enjoy and I understand so much why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do it, and I love the connection that I have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the learning, and I get a geschmack out of it and I enjoy it, so then it becomes, I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of it. And Adarabba, it's like fine wine. You could develop a taste for it, and the more it goes, the more excited you get for it, and the more you do, the more excited. That's what it's supposed to be. And that's, you know, that's also the idea in the parasha of maybe we'll skip it. Yeah, the Akedah. There's a famous Ran. The Ran says about the Akedah that actually it wasn't a command. Hashem didn't command them. He didn't command them. That made the Nisayon of the Akedah even greater because he didn't command them. So he just asked them, Kachna. Kach no is pincha, right? No is ain no el loshem bakasha. Kach no. There was no chiv. If Avram hadn't sacrificed his son, he wouldn't have gotten any punishment. There was no real chiv. Why? So why did he do it now? Because I could, same idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avram to do it not out of a sense of chiv. There was no chiv. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, listen, this is what I'd like you to do. No chiv, no technical form of chiv, but it's the Ratzon Hashem. He wants you to do it. He wants you to do it. So that's what the Ran says. That was that nisayon. The nisayon was, can you imagine, to kill? It's a big enough nisayon to kill your own child if you're mechuyev to do it. But you're not even mechuyev to do it. You're not even mechuyev to do it. So, same idea that he wanted to do it. I saw just one last thing. I had never seen this before. Such a beautiful idea. Right? The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says this on... Pasuk says, Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov v'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael. Hashem elokav imo esruas melech bo. So on the Pasuk, v'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael... So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh apparently writes, I didn't get a chance to look it up inside, but I saw somebody quoting, I think Rabbi Simon quoted it, V'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael, he said it's mamash exactly this point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not be seeing in Klal Yisrael that the mitzvos are an amal, that it's a yegiah, that it's a, that's what the Pasuk means. Lo hibit oven b'Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see Averus, V'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael, he doesn't even see that we feel that the mitzvos are a burden to us, V'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael, he doesn't see that it's then Hashem elokav imo usruas melech bo. That's when we'll know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really with Klal Yisrael. Because if a person really feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him, so the mitzvahs aren't him an amal. It's not a burden. It's not a amelus means like it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work that the person should feel like to put on tefillin in the morning, to go to minyan every day, right? To keep kosher, to keep Shabbos the way it's supposed to. The person views, it's an amal. No, it says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees v'lo ra amal b'Yisrael, if he doesn't see that amal, so then Hashem elokav imo usruas melech bo, then he'll really be our Ribbono Shel Olam. That's, of course, what Rav Moshe said very, very famously. He said that that the early generations in the United States, when it was very, very hard to be a Jew, so Rav Moshe was famous for saying that people came home from work and they lost their jobs every week when they had to not work on Shabbos, so they came home and they said, Shver to Zayin Ayid, right? It's difficult to be a Jew. And he said that's one of the reasons why a lot of their children left Yiddishkeit, because they heard mom and dad come home every weekend and say, Shver to Zayin Ayid. So Rav Moshe said, we're supposed to say, Gring to Zayin Ayid. This is Gring. I don't know Yiddish so well, but apparently Gring means it's easy. It's easy to be a Jew. It's light. It's easy. Gring to Zayin Ayid. That's the way you're supposed to say it. So, I hope that, especially as the long, dark nights of winter and the rainy days start coming, we should sometimes, I always say, like, it's absolutely incredible. Like, davening is, like, so much better when it's, like, bright sunshine outside. And, like, when it's raining outside, forget it. The davening's history. Like, everyone's already, everyone walks in, when it's raining outside, everyone walks in already. They already walked in like they're down. You know, they already walked in, and it's like, oh gosh, and it's raining also. You know, like, I said, bad enough to have to sit through davening for an hour. It's even raining outside. It's like, it makes it worse. So, as the long nights of winter are upon us, we should try our hardest to remember Yiddishkeit is not a burden. Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakas Yisrael, right? Avram Avinu was so excited, wanted Arachim, even if he was technically putter from Arachim, he wanted them. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avram to do the Akedah, according to the Ran, in a way out of his personal desire for it. Just close with one very brief story. I paid a unless I should save it for Rabbi Leibowitz over the weekend, but I paid a shiva call to the principal of the Yeshiva Katana of Long Island, Rabbi Krigsman. So he was telling me a lot about his father who passed away. Just one story, I'll really made a big impression on me, deep impression. He said that you have to understand who his father was. I can't go over the whole 30 minutes of him telling me who his father was. Like straight, one of these straight as an arrow guys, really straight. Appreciate everything he had in life. Was a businessman, did very, very well in business. But was, you know, his davening was, you know, Yehar Gvul Yavar, or tefillin was Yehar Gvul Yavar. You know, the mitzvahs that he did many, many mitzvahs, and that was like, you know, No compromise on any mitzvahs. So he lived to, he was very, very healthy his whole life. And then I guess about 6 months ago, so he was diagnosed, I think, with a brain tumor or something like that. And even that somehow was like, he was besimcha, like it wasn't going to have to be, you know, that he was so happy that they discovered that it was too late, they couldn't operate on it. He was besimcha. Oh, they can't operate. It would have messed me over. It would have had to go through pain and this and that. Everything, he was always besimcha. Everything was makabel, always positively. So he said there was only like two times in his life he ever saw him like cry or whatever, upset. So Dr. Bashevkin, that's the cancer doctor, had to come in to explain to him, now that he had a brain tumor, what he wasn't going to be able to do. And like he's telling him that in a couple of weeks, you know, what's going to happen to him. He's describing what's going to happen to him. Like, he wasn't going to be able to put on tefillin. Like, you know, he asked him, he wasn't going to be able to put on tefillin. So he starts crying. And like, Dr. Bashevkin said, I've had to tell thousands of people in their lives that they had cancer, what they can't do. And most people say, I'm not going to be able to play golf anymore. I'm not going to be able to do this. He says, I never had somebody break down crying because he wasn't going to be able to put on his tefillin. Because the cancer, whatever, was going to mess up his balance and his equilibrium and his mind, whatever, was going to mess up, that he wasn't going to be able to have the coordination to just, somebody else had to come into the room and put the tefillin. He wasn't going to be able to have the coordination, but on tefillin. He never used to cry ever. He was so besimcha, everything that he had in life. He never saw him cry ever. Like, that was the one of two times I think he ever saw him cry in his life, that he wasn't going to be able to put on the tefillin. So we should have this realization of what is chus that we have to perform the mitzvos Torah each and every day. When we put on our tefillin every morning, we put on our tzitzis, we put on our Shabbos and tefillah, we should realize Ratzach Hashbach Zakos, what a tremendous chus it should be, ba'ava and love and excitement and positive, so that for our entire lifetimes, that feeling and desire to want to do it will never wane. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. If it didn't come out, I mean, Rabbi Levin, the technical guru, I also have a copy.
It looks like it works.